Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
Support for LAist comes from Visual Communications, presenting VC Film Fest, celebrating 40 years of Asian and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander filmmaking, with over 200 films May 1st through 10th. Info at festival.vcmedia.org.
In the Heights, money is tight, but even so.
Ain't got no skills.
Ready?
Yo, let me get it. Milky Way.
Yep.
This is Air Talk. I'm Sharon McNary in for Larry Mantle this week on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we have Film Week. John Horn is hosting, and our critics will review the latest releases. But first, we're having a different kind of movie discussion about colorism in the musical film In the Heights. Released last week, the film was hailed by many for showcasing the Latinx experiences in Washington Heights, as well as representing the diversity found within that community. But then came an interview conducted by Afro-Cuban journalist Feliz Leon, who asked In the Heights director John M. Chu about the lack of Afro-Latinx leading actors in the film, especially considering the demographics of the Washington Heights neighborhood where the film is set. This sparked conversation about Latinx representation, Afro-Latinx erasure, and whitewashing by the entertainment industry. So we'll be having that discussion now on Air Talk. Joining to kick things off is Clayton Davis, Variety's Film Awards editor. He's the founder and president of the Latino Entertainment Journalists Association and a member of the African American Film Critics Association. Hey, Clayton.
Hello.
Nice to be with you. So, Clayton, what is your take on the criticism that In the Heights received?
Well, it's always great to celebrate a film like In the Heights that allows Latinos to be seen in a way that we haven't really seen before. I think one of the things that gets muddled in these discussions is you can celebrate something and still talk about its shortcomings. And in the Latino culture and Latinx culture, we cover a spectrum of different looks and voices, and we hail, you know, you can't generalize 500 million people. And that's something that, you know, Hollywood has been trying to do for a long time. And there's just far too few of us that feel seen, even when we are allowed to have a platform. So even though we celebrate In the Heights, there's still a lot of people within the Latino community who didn't see themselves represented in the film. And that's something that we have to work on.
Well, how do you identify? What is your background and information about, you know, the Afro-Latinx population?
Sure. You know, my mother is Puerto Rican and my father is Black. I am a light-skinned, you know, Latino Black person living here. But where my mother comes from in Puerto Rico, it's a town called Loíza. And even in Puerto Rico, if anyone is familiar with the reggaeton musical artist Tego Calderon, he's from Loíza, and that's the place where people say the Black people live on the island. It's this place where slave ships dropped off, you know, African slaves when they were being stolen from Africa. So I guess the bigger point is that, you know, Latinos have been fighting for representation, which we should still continue to do, but we have to fix our own house. There's too much colorism and racism within our own culture. And what is deemed beautiful, my wife is Cuban, and her grandmother, you know, was born in Cuba, and they were taught there blonde hair and blue eyes. That's perfect. That's beautiful. And if you're any variation of that, you're not beautiful. So as I say, everything is connected to one another, and that's why we haven't seen Latino representation in media as much, because we're still debating within ourselves of who we are and what we are.
When I lived in Guatemala and in Bolivia and watching TV, you know, I watched TV there, you could see that there was a certain preference for lighter skinned over darker skinned actors, newscasters. And so that's something that exists in Latin America already. And then what happens when you add in the Hollywood factor?
Yeah, I mean, that's we still see it today. You know, the idea of a Latino is very, it seems to be very singular. But one thing I learned, I'm originally from the East Coast. I've only lived in L.A. about 5 days so far. And I've always lived on the East Coast. And in that part of the country, when we ask someone, where are you from? And they say they're Latino, there's usually a follow-up question. We're like, oh, are you Puerto Rican? Are you Dominican? Are you Ecuadorian? Are you Colombian? Like, there's that kind of question. When I started dating my wife, I went to visit her cousin in North Carolina. I'm not well-traveled. I didn't travel a lot of places. I went to North Carolina. I learned there that whenever you say Latino, people think just Mexican. Like, a lot of people just think there's, like, one idea of what a Latino is, and a lot of people don't even know what, like, a Puerto Rican is or what a Dominican is. And these are the ideas that have been perpetuated and stuck in this place. And something like In the Heights, which, you know, takes place in Washington Heights, which may people have heard of, but it's not a very famous neighborhood, and nor do general moviegoers know the makeup of that place. When you go to Washington Heights, you don't see what you saw in the film. Does that make Lin-Manuel Miranda the villain? Absolutely not. John M. Chu's not the villain either. You know, it's just, you can, like I said, you can celebrate it, but then realize that a lot of people didn't see themselves. They didn't see their neighborhood. They didn't see their people. And Dominicans, especially in that neighborhood, you know, Anthony Ramos plays a Dominican in the film. He's Puerto Rican, and Leslie Grace on the same token, she plays a Puerto Rican but is Dominican.
Oh my gosh.
But there's this idea of what the Latino should look like, and we didn't see a lot of those darker skinned Afro-Latinos, and they're too often unseen and ignored.
Is it your sense that if this movie had been made, you know, a year later than it was, that it would have been different?
I don't think so, because we've never had this conversation. And you know, I've been at Variety now almost a year, and one of the first pieces I wrote was about Latinos being a weak spot within the Academy Awards. We've only had 4 Latino winners in 93 years in the acting categories. 4. Rita Moreno is the only woman right now, like in terms of a full-blooded Latina, that has won. That was 50 years ago. And there's an idea of what the Latino looks like and what it feels like. And even in the conversation of Oscar So White that took place in 2015, 2016, while we had no people of color in the acting categories, it was completely passed over that we had Latinos nominated in directing categories. And matter of fact, we've had a Latino win the directing category, I believe, 6 out of the last 9 times, you know, with Guillermo del Toro, Alejandro G. Iñárritu, Alfonso Cuarón, you know, Iñárritu won twice in a row.
Yeah.
You know, but yet that doesn't, when we talk about Black Lives Matter and representation matters, it always feels like Latinos aren't part of that conversation, both by white people, but also by Latinos themselves. They think that it doesn't include them, that when people are getting stopped by cops, it doesn't, they're not talking about you. We are part of that conversation. And some of us may feel like, you know, I'm not black and I'm not white. Like, people know who they belong to. And when you're in the spectrum, you're just as vulnerable as anyone else that's out there.
Well, what do you see as some fixes for the casting process? I mean, you know, there were some members of the cast and I think the director were a bit defensive about their casting process. What's a fix for that?
Honestly, I go back to a conversation I had with Rosie Perez in the last few months, and she's in the show The Flight Attendant on HBO Max, and she's contending right now for an Emmy nomination. We're in the middle of Emmy voting. If she's nominated, she'll be the third Latina in a supporting actress comedy category to ever be nominated. So I haven't had a winner in that space yet. And Rosie Perez had said, the roles that are written, if it doesn't specify, then just go out and cast someone different. Like, there's no description that Vanessa in the Heights has to be a light-skinned woman. There's no description that, you know, Nina has to be, medium tone or dark or a little darker. Like, you can be inventive without necessarily, like, even addressing it. You didn't have to say, like, you know, Vanessa's Afro-Latina, you know, in the show or anything like that. So we just have to think of the idea of the characters just being characters, but see different interpretations of what that character can look like, sound like, feel like. You know, there's depth and weight to when Nina's having the conversation, a little bit of a glimpse into the film. Nina's having a conversation with her father and her friends at the table, and what she talks about getting searched in her college dorm room. That is a Black Lives Matter issue. And I think people might have glossed over that. And how much more weight could that have carried if there was someone else in the role? I think Leslie Grace is amazing, and I love that she got the role. But when you have certain things like that, they take on new meaning. And that's the fix, is just looking beyond what's right in front of you.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know you've got to run, but you helped kick off this conversation. That's Clayton Davis, Variety's Film Awards editor, founder and president of the Latino Entertainment Journalists Association, and a member of the African American Film Critics Association. We want to hear from you. Did you see In the Heights? Have you been following the criticism that the film received? I want to hear what you're thinking. Call us at 866-893-5722. You can also tweet us or write a comment on the Facebook page. We're talking about the film adaptation of the musical In the Heights. Joining me now is Monica Castillo, arts and culture reporter for Colorado Public Radio. She's also a freelance film critic. Monica, you burned it up with your critique of this film. You wrote a piece for NPR headlined The Limitations of Latinidad, How Colorism Haunts In the Heights. Share for us your criticism of the film.
Sure, I think it's a lot of what Clayton Davis had just previously talked about, but essentially that this is not a problem that's just In the Heights. This is a problem that goes back deep into Hollywood history. This is also very much rooted in Latinidad culture, the issue of colorism and favoring those Eurocentric sort of qualities and how damaging that's been throughout the years. So in the end, actually, I've cited Felice Leon's marvelous interview with John Chu, but I also mentioned the fact that she had done a video at the very end, I believe, talking about like how Latinidad sort of flattens our different identities. I mean, we're coming from, you know, I think Clayton said 500 million different people, and we're representing over 30 different countries. It's impossible to try and get all of that, but this flattened sort of like one, you know, a Selma Hayek or Sofia Vergara as the only means of representation for Latinos is very limiting and has traditionally left out any sort of folks who are Afro-Latino or indigenous.
Yeah, and I liked how you described your own reaction to the film. Describe how you felt when you watched it, but then started having additional thoughts about what you had not seen.
Certainly. And I wrote a rave review actually for The Wrap. When I first saw it, I had seen it a few times actually, because I've worked on a few different articles about In the Heights and done some interviews as well. And I left elated. I loved it. I saw myself in a lot of the characters. I, you know, related to a lot of the family struggles, to, you know, a lot of the questions about money and also, you know, having an ambition and having a dream that maybe not quite everybody in your community understands, but really going for it. And, you know, know, willing to move for that dream, as in the case of the characters like Nina and Vanessa. But then, you know, the conversation started coming up and I'm like, ah, yes, that's right. I, as a white Latina, may have seen myself in this, but not everybody has seen themselves represented in the Heights. And there's space for that too. I think someone put it beautifully before, it's a sort of duality. You know, there can be that celebration of In the Heights and what it has achieved, and also recognize that there's still work to do.
Still work to do. Also with us is Claudia Puig, film critic for KPCC and president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. Welcome, Claudia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. So what is your take on In the Heights? We just lost Claudia. Well, let's hear from our listeners. Did you see In the Heights, or have you been following criticism the film received? Call us at 866-893-5722. Monica, can you contextualize why people were angry about the lack of prominent Afro-Latinx characters in the film?
Sure. I think this movie had a lot of fanfare building up around it. Certainly, like, I was there at the trailer release party back in 2019. So there was already a lot of attention. The wheels were turning. And a lot of the original initial talk and the sort of marketing was talking about how this was going to be like our Latinx version of Crazy Rich Asians, our Latinx version of Black Panther. And then when it came out, and a lot of a good portion of our community didn't see themselves represented in that, that's a big problem. So then that's why there's been it's a very emotional, kind of touchy issue, as we kind of saw, you know, some folks got very defensive around the conversation. And if you look over in social media, some of the conversation around it has been kind of heated. You know, we had Rita Moreno talking defensive Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, because she was hurt by what she saw as an attack on the movie. But then, you know, that was its own kind of issue. And she has since apologized, not realizing that the unintentional effect that she had tried to do in defending her friend, who also produced her documentary that's coming out this weekend, meant that she was silencing this conversation around colorism.
And as we know, more conversation is better than less conversation. We got Claudia Puig back on the line. Claudia, what is your take on In the Heights?
Yeah, it's, you know, I am Latina, but I can't speak for the Afro-Latinx community. But I do think the issue of colorism is a fair and valid concern. It is a largely light-skinned cast, and Washington Heights residents represent a wide range of skin colors. So I think it's, you know, like Monica, I came out, I had that first initial elated reaction too. You know, I did see myself in the characters. I understood the story. I was happy to see it. And yet, you know, upon hearing these other concerns, it's troubling that it doesn't represent all Latinos. And I think, you know, as I think Lin-Manuel Miranda has said, both things can be true. You know, you can celebrate this movie. You can see that this is a movie that did speak to a lot of us Latinos, and we did feel represented, and we enjoyed the story, the sense of celebration, but it doesn't represent all Latinos. And that is, you know, problematic. And that I also feel, though, that it's just too bad that the situation is so grim for diversity in general, for Latinos particularly, that the weight of this pan-Latino representation falls so heavily on one movie.
And we'll get back to that in a second. We're talking with Colorado Public Radio's Monica Castillo and Los Angeles Film Critics Association president and KPCC film work critic Claudia Puig. We will take a short break. Stay with us.
Blackout. Vino el apagón, ay Dios.
Oye, ¿qué pasó? Blackout.
Vino el apagón, ay Dios.
We are powerless.
Hey, our talk listeners, I'm Sharon McNeary, salsa dancing in my chair, filling in for Larry Mantle today. Film Week is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. But right now we're talking about In the Heights, the musical drama film based on the stage musical of the same name, which sparked a conversation about colorism in Hollywood and also within the Latinx community. With me is Colorado Public Radio arts and culture reporter and also freelance film critic Monica Castillo, as well as Claudia Puig, film critic for KPCC and president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. Now, you know, we make films for the public, not necessarily just the critics. So I wanted to hear from some members of the audience who had seen the film. Angela from El Monte, you saw the film. What did you think?
Yes, I did see the film. Thank you. I loved it. I am Afro-Latina. I am Black and I'm Puerto Rican and I present Black. I have a big curly fro. I have traditionally Black features. My eyes are probably the most Puerto Rican thing about me. And when I watched the film, I watched it with actually with my Puerto Rican side of my family. I felt it was a beautiful piece of work. And I actually am super disheartened by the criticism that the movie's taken. I myself am somebody who's active in the fight for racial reconciliation. I'm on faculty for a Center for Racial Reconciliation. I do racial rec workshops. So this is like the heartbeat of my life. And colorism is an internal racist oppression that I teach about all the time. And so from that context, from that perspective, from that lens, I still did not think that it all of this criticism is that big of a deal, because I agreed with the lady who what she said. We can't expect for the issue of colorism to be healed in one movie. We can't expect for this issue to be addressed in one movie, especially with somebody like Lin-Manuel Miranda, who has gone great lengths above and beyond with his cast to make sure that America today is represented. To sum all of his work and to criticize all of it into this one movie feels disheartening. Not for one moment when I was watching this movie did I feel underrepresented. Did I feel like I wasn't seen? I cried tears of joy, especially in the scene when the pool, when they do the overhead shot and there's all these beautiful tones of melanin. It's just, it's too much. I think people are making a huge deal out of this and making a mountain out of a molehill. And I think this was a beautiful first step towards true representation of the Latino community in film.
Well, thank you so much, Angela, for sharing that. Let's hear also from Nicole from Pasadena. What was your take on the film?
I am African-American, but I lived in the Heights for about 5 years. And one of the things that really stood out to me was the lack of Afro-Latino faces. I would often be mistaken for Afro-Latina when I lived in the Heights because I'm dark skinned and but I still looked like I could be a Dominican. So I just thought it was a glaring omission that because it doesn't represent the neighborhood, it also doesn't represent the community. And I can't speak from the community's perspective, but I can speak as someone who lived in that neighborhood and knows that there is a large quantity of Afro-Latinx folks in that neighborhood. And I just thought it was a glaring omission.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Nicole from Pasadena. Claudia, I mean, I feel like we can contextualize this further by looking at the lack of Latinx representation in the film industry, because this also has to do with how little Latino representation we see on screen. And that when it happens, it's usually light-skinned Latinos who get the spotlight.
Absolutely. That is the biggest problem of all, is that only 4% of characters in movies and TV are Latino. And we comprise 29% of the box office and I think 19% of the population. And, you know, the vast majority of power brokers and executives and even filmmakers in Hollywood simply haven't chosen to include Latinos in movies or TV. And that's the biggest problem. It's important for everyone to feel seen, and Latinos rarely do. So that's the biggest issue. And as the caller said, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda has gone above and beyond, and he really has worked very hard as a person who, you know, who to have Latino representation, to have just diversity and inclusion in his work. And so, you know, I actually wonder, you know, about the conversations that went on behind the scenes, you know, with the executives at Warner Brothers. And, you know, I don't know if it's, we weren't privy to those conversations, you know, and Miranda and John Chu are getting a lot of the, you know, kind of harshest criticism. But what about the Warner Brothers executives? Casting decisions are rarely done, you know, down to one person. And oftentimes, too often, studios wield the greatest power.
Yeah, a great point. Yeah. We don't know who made which decisions. Monica DeFold, you in the conversation as well. I mean, how do you think this reflects and feeds into the larger problems of Latino representation on screen?
In that same NPR piece that we were talking about earlier, I cited the USC Annenberg study, and I highly recommend everyone look that up. They looked at sort of the issue of the lack of representation for Latinos in the film industry. And it goes, you know, looking at, I think that's the top 100 movies at the box office for the past 10 years. And it found like those single digits of like, yeah, 4 to 5% of speaking roles go to Latinos. And, you know, the numbers only get smaller from there. So I think this is also a part and parcel of a bigger problem, the sort of like fear around scarcity, that the every one little scrap that we get has to now, you know, encompass all these different cultures and all these different folks. This would be a lot less painful if there were more in the Heights, if there were more, you know, different movies that starred our folks coming to theaters and getting those green lights and, you know, development deals. I mean, it goes all the way back. The whole, you know, sort of chicken and egg equation is very much like, you know, it starts all the way at the egg. Like the Latino creatives that I know from, you know, interviews and talking with people at the film festival circuit, they're not getting the same deals, they're not getting the same opportunities. And from there, it starts funneling fewer and fewer opportunities as you get towards the top to making like these big budget Hollywood movies.
Mm. Claudia, we haven't seen any big film that a majority of the United States Latinx diaspora has rallied around recently. What is your take on that? Why is that? Especially when most of the longstanding films are older and getting older.
Yeah, I mean, I think this has been something that has completely mystified so many of us. And when you think about the fact that Hollywood is located, you know, in a city that is now majority Latino, it's kind of shocking that we have seen so little. And that is why so much, you know, was writing and is writing on In the Heights, because this is such a rare thing. And you know, I agree with Monica, every little scrap we get, we're so grateful for. But then at the same time, we're sort of tearing it apart. You know, I the reason is mystifying to me, but
Okay, well, let's leave it there. Thank you so much to my guests, Clayton Davis, Variety's Film Awards editor, Monica Castillo, arts and culture reporter from Colorado Public Radio, and Claudia Puig, a film critic for KPCC and president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. I want to take a moment to thank the Air Talk team. We're produced by Megan Wynn, Matt D'Angelo-Antonio, Natalie Chudnovsky, Lindsay Wright, and Julia Murray. Our news apprentices are Manuel Valladares and James Chow. Our editor is Parker McDaniels. Thanks to Kyle Stokes for sitting in earlier this week. I'm Sharon McNary. Larry's back next week.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.